That called earlier today, I guess they're in Amarillo on two wheels still, thank goodness, and on their way home. So we just wish them that the rest of their trip is safe and they get back home. And I know that that's fun out on the motorcycles, but man, you just get so tired doing that sometimes. So we just hope that they get some good rest when they get back home also. Today we're talking about living a legacy. And I was going to put down leaving a legacy, but I thought we may want to leave a legacy. But if we don't live a legacy, we're in trouble. Before I start, we want to dismiss Children's Church. And I haven't a clue what age group goes, but Kayla is back in the back, and she's going to take the children for Children's Church. So if you have children that need to go to that, go to that. Just go back with Kayla in the back there. Small group today. All right. Happy Father's Day. The kids are in sleeping, I guess. And again, I want to thank all those people involved in this morning's breakfast for the fathers. That was just a special treat and a wonderful treat. And so we appreciate that all the time and appreciate what you guys do to help us. Today's scripture reading actually is one that we read at Falls Creek last week. And as I thought about it, I thought how fitting. It's Psalm 145. And I'm going to read a little bit more, but Psalm 145, verses 1 through 7. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. These are the verses we read in Falls Creek, these next two right here. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of your might and of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bible to Colossians, we're going to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, and we're going to start on verse 18. As we're turning there, again, I was going to do leaving a legacy, but I thought we may want to leave a legacy, and we're all going to leave a legacy, but we're only going to get there, get to the legacy we want to leave, if we live that legacy out. We have to model that legacy that we want to leave in our words and in our actions. And not just by words. That's what happens a lot of times when we talk about things. Our actions really are what leave the legacy behind us, so we want to be careful about that. And when we talk about living a legacy, we're talking about living a godly legacy. Not just living a legacy, but a godly legacy. As Christ followers, we want to leave a godly legacy. That's what we're talking about here, which is why I read that, from one generation to the next. And as Kisha said, that's what we're doing, just trying to show different generations of songs that are important to us. The songs to our young people are different today that affect them and touch them, just like the older songs. To some of you that have been around a long time, some of the older hymns are very special to you. And some of these new songs are special to the young people, and they will be things that have changed their lives. And so we have to understand that and try not to put God in this box, right here in this little box. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, basically is repeating some things that it says in Ephesians 5 and 6. And it sets up the stage for a Christian home. And this tends to be on Father's Day. It just happens to be this way in Scripture. I didn't write it down this way. But in chapter 3, verse 18, the first thing it says, guys always love this, wives, submit to your own husbands. It is fitting in the Lord. But then we come back around, and guys, we have a duty also. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Now we have one for the children also. Children, obey your parents in all things, for it is well-pleasing to the Lord. It is well-pleasing to the Lord. And then on Father's Day, I hate to say it, but it follows that up with, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Now, half the kids are saying, too late, Dad already discouraged me. Okay, he already provoked me. But Adam, could we have an extra thing from this morning's service, a CD, so we can take home so Dad can hear, not to provoke us? Now that last one, you know, is it says, lest they become discouraged. Our words can discourage people and they can build each other up. They can build each other up. And I know on Father's Day we have some of you people out there saying, well, you know what? I didn't have a father figure in my life. I didn't know my dad. I don't know who my dad is. He left us. He abandoned us. My father passed away. I don't know him. And I'm happy to report that at least you have a father in heaven that will be your legacy and be the thing that you want to follow after. Well, why is it important that fathers do such a good job? And I'll tell you, in fatherless homes, there's some startling statistics out there about fatherless homes. 75% of adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers are from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions are from fatherless homes. 85% of the youth in prison are from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. Dads, it's important that we do our job and that we live a legacy and leave a legacy. We'll reference, we already referenced a few things from Falls Creek. Why? Because we were there all week last week. And it echoed so many things. If you look around, the shirts that some of these young people are wearing says Echo. And Scott was leading one of our morning devotion times, and he said, we're going to leave an echo whether we want to or not. Basically, it's talking about leaving your footprint. And we're going to leave a footprint no matter what. It's just a matter of what is that footprint that we want to leave. So we're leaving a footprint. We're leaving a legacy, and we're living a legacy. But as Christ followers, we want to live a godly legacy. By the way, the praise and worship leader there talked about a young man he met. He was in a store somewhere, and he said this guy came up to him, a 17-year-old guy, came up and said, hey, man, I really love your praise and worship. And he thought, where do I know you from? The young man goes to his church. And he said after a while, he didn't see him, so he asked his parents, where is this guy? And they said, well, he's in prison right now. He made some bad choices, and he's in prison. He had a father, but 85% of youth in prison are from fatherless homes. So one of the things we did, our group broke up into three little what we call family groups. And our group wrote a note of encouragement to this young man. And the next day I took it and gave it to the praise and worship leader and said, next time you send a letter to this guy, he communicates to this guy in prison. I said, next time you send a letter, will you include our notes of encouragement to this young man? Just to lift him up. Where's Helen? Helen, I know you have a prison ministry. And I just thought, how powerful to send people encouragement and to give them encouragement in any way possible. And that's a legacy that we can live by a simple act of writing something down. And then I got a thing with some missionaries, and we wrote a note of encouragement to some missionaries over in Romania. Living a legacy, not just talking about it. So Colossians 3:18 talks about a Christian home and the different aspects of it. What we're going to do today is talk about 4 points for living out a godly legacy. They won't be long. They're just 4 points. Are they the fix-all? No, but they're 4 key points, I believe. Number one, we can't teach what we don't know. So the number one key thing to living a godly legacy is learn and practice and model godly principles. We have to learn these things, and we're going to be going to several different verses. You can follow me or you can just write down where they are. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What does that mean? That means we have to get in the Word of God, fathers. We have to get in the Word of God, to all you dads out there, and learn it. We can't pass on what we don't know. We have to learn it, practice it, and model it. The study of God's Word, it says it's good in those four areas. Doctrine, which is teaching or learning those things and then teaching our faith to others. Reproof, which basically is correction. I came to also as we were down there, we use a lot of these big words, we read these words in the Bible, and we don't know what we're talking about. That's one of the important things of learning and studying with other people also. Reproof. What in the world is that? Proofread? I don't know what it's saying. Reproof, basically talking about conviction. I said correction. Conviction. It also says for correction, setting things straight, getting things right. And then instruction, training up children, training up the next generation. It says doctrine is focused on gaining knowledge and information. And then the other three things, reproof, correction, and instruction. Those things are things that change our life, that we have to change. One is learning those things and understanding who God is and what His expectations for our lives are. Many of us don't know what God's expectation for our life is. His expectation is not merely to show up here every Sunday and possibly Wednesday night Bible study. There's so much more to His expectation. We'll talk a little bit about that at the end also. Reproof, correction, and instruction are, as I said, are all life changes and styles that we need to change. Knowledge without changing, your life is useless. If we have all this and we fail to change our life, it's useless. We study God's Word so that we can learn more, we can mature more, and then we can pass that on and we can live more. So many people have this idea that God wants to put us in this box, and Pastor Jack has talked about it. He wants to cut off all the fun we have. No, I don't think so. I think God wants us to have great amounts of fun. He wants us to be able to laugh. He wants us to be able to enjoy life. But we're able to do those things living within the confines of His Word. Hebrews 5, verse 12 through 14. Boy, I have notes all over, but trying to find this stuff. Lordy. There we go. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. It talks about spiritual immaturity. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." We have got to get in God's Word and learn things and quit coming here and getting a few scriptures or one scripture and thinking, man, I'm learning all about the Bible one Sunday at a time. God requires and expects so much more from us than getting it off a slide. That's why I don't have that stuff up there. Reading these things. I can't tell you how many times Pastor Jack has read a scripture, but there's something before and after that that just catches my eye that I like to read. He expects so much more from us than getting it here once a week or maybe twice a week. Well, I listen to preachers on the radio. They're not going to teach you the Word of God by getting them on the radio or once a week here. Once we learn the foundation, then we have to practice it and model it. And James 1, verse 22 tells us to live out whatever we hear. Don't just hear God's Word and quote it to others and teach them and walk around not doing it. Do what you hear and teach them by doing what you are telling them. When they hear us say one thing and we do another, that just confuses them. And I get that we all make mistakes and we tell them to do this, and then we go off and we make a mistake. Acknowledge those mistakes. We need to get serious about reading and studying God's Word. Point number two, is we have to teach. Once we learn, practice, and model godly principles. We have to teach godly principles. Number two, teach godly principles. I love Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6, familiar to many of us. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Last week, as we had our Youth Sunday, and we kind of were pointing out our young people here, I'd say over half are attending without parents. Now, I don't know about you, but whether that's 6 kids or 12 kids or 3 kids, I think it's pretty amazing when a young person takes it upon themselves to find a way to get them up to church without their parents. And we have, I'd say, at least half of our young people here without parents, week after week after week. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, the one thing it doesn't say specifically in that verse is parents. Now, we assume that, but the other thing is Christ followers, it may be our duty to train up a child. Just because we're not their mother or their father doesn't mean we can't help train them. Over in Ephesians chapter 6. And that's always scary when you look at a heading that says children and parents. You think, uh-oh, one or the other's in trouble by Scripture because it's going to tell them what they can or can't do. It talks again about us bringing up children and training them in the ways of the Lord. It says in verse 1, chapter 6 of Ephesians, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And it follows that up and says, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Here we go again, fathers, though. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the training. Jesus Christ taught his disciples, and he worked with his disciples, and he gave them an example. What better example to have than Jesus Christ? But as we know, many of his disciples decided to walk away, or they stumbled, or they struggled. In 1 Peter 2, verse 18, and again, I'm doing a lot of scriptures trying to back up these four key points, so you can just write them down or you can turn there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 through 23, and it talks about submission. It says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. That's kind of hard sometimes, to be submissive to harsh masters. For this is commendable if, because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. What better example than Jesus Christ leaving, telling us to be patient? He tells us we'll go through various trials, and he tells us how to handle those things. And fathers or parents, but fathers today on Father's Day, we have a duty to show our kids how to be patient and how to take those things. Train up a child, that's by example. That's not only by words, but that's by actions. I love this story as we talk about teaching godly principles. In Acts chapter 8, it talks about Christ being preached to the Ethiopian. And I just love reading that story. And it says that an angel spoke to Philip and basically directed him and told him where to go. And he found an Ethiopian. In verse 28, it says, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." He said, "I ask you, whom does the prophet say this of, himself or of some other man?" And then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at that scripture, preached Jesus to him. They went and they talked about being baptized, and he asked him, "What hinders you from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." We have a job to do as we see people reading. Every now and then walk up and say, "Do you understand what you're reading?" I told our group of young people last week that I was reading the Bible one time. It was one of those circular verses that just goes around and around. You don't know where it began and where it ends because it all just sounds like nothing. I called Eric and said, "Man, Eric, I don't get this. This doesn't even make sense. I mean, it's like God's joke. Let's put this in there, see if they recognize this doesn't make sense." And Eric said, "Well, here's what I do." So he was telling me how to go look up different scriptures, and we looked it up, and I said, "Okay, well, that version, you know, we have different translations of the Bible and people that write it so we understand it. I couldn't quite find one that translated that to make sense to me." But it's important when we stumble and don't know what something is that we ask someone, we can go to somebody. And likewise, it's important that we go to other people and say, "Do you fully understand this? Do you understand what you're reading? Especially our young people, do you have questions about this?" Man, as an adult, I have a lot of questions about it. I had so many I started highlighting. Now I can't tell what are key verses and what are questions I had in the Bible. I wasn't smart enough to think, use two different colors, one for questions and one for key verses that I love. But as I learned that, I was talking to a young man this week and said, "Use these different colors so you can do that." Oh, my wife thinks that's hilarious. Yeah, because I'm not the organized one in the family. I get this stuff always after the fact. We need to take time to help those around us and make sure that they understand what they're doing. She's got about 500 colors and markers and knows exactly what each color means. Point number three, correct and discipline ungodly principles. Now, this is a tough one for the church. It's tough for the church to do. It is tough for the church members to receive. And there's a little confusion. And we'll be fairly brief about this. Proverbs 15:10 says, "Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die." Let me repeat the end. He who hates correction will die. That's tough stuff to take, and it's tough to give out. Churches often struggle and have a lot of problems when they don't follow up with church discipline. It's just a tough thing. "Well, I don't want to offend them and have them go elsewhere." Well, if they're doing something wrong, the Bible tells us to correct them, and it tells us how to do that. But I want to talk about just the discipline part for how to take that. And then Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. If you love somebody, correct them. Don't let them go on in their wrong ways, in their ungodly principles, in their ungodly path. Did you hit a bingo? Just kidding. Jackpot. You know, and I love when things like that happen. Little babies give a blurt out there. "Let us pray," and you hear this, "Wah!" I love that stuff. You know, we had a little technical difficulty up here today. Number one, I started playing the wrong song. And thank goodness Kish had prompted us by saying, "I'm going to talk about from the inside out." Okay, I guess I'm playing the wrong song. We make mistakes. and as Christ followers, let's acknowledge that every now and then. And if possible, let's have fun with it, too. Now, I'm not talking about make hideous fun of me, but, you know, it's okay to make mistakes. We want things to run smoothly, but every now and then they don't. And that's okay. I'm telling you, long ago, they didn't have one of these things. As Jesus was preaching to thousands of people, do you think he had one of these things in his hand? He may have had a loaf of bread in there, but it certainly didn't project his voice. Okay, so back to discipline. If you love someone, correct them. On the flip side of that, if somebody comes to you with correction, humble yourself and receive it. We tend to bow up and make excuses, and it's okay to explain why we did something, but when we're making excuses, just humble yourself and receive it. Can we do that as Christ followers? Do what the Bible says and humble yourself every now and then and receive it? Point number four, praise and celebrate godly principles. When good things happen, celebrate those good things. When people are doing great things, celebrate those things. And I have one verse here to follow up with that. And there's several verses that support these things. But I just want to cover one verse, and it's 1 Peter 1, verse 6 through 9. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving at the end of your faith salvation of your souls. Take the time to celebrate when great things happen. Take the time to celebrate when people are leading godly lives, when you see great examples. At Ground Zero a couple weeks ago, I was giving the message and I told them, no trace camping. Any campers in here? Raise your hand if you're a camper. I didn't think so. A couple people like to camp. No trace camping means you go in there and they have different terms and slogans, whatever, when you camp. But, you know, it's pack it in, pack it out. Don't take trash in there and then leave it behind. No trace camping. You go in there, you camp, and you leave, and there's no trace that you've been there leaving your litter and all your junk behind. No trace camping is great. No trace living is bad. We don't want to leave a legacy that says, I had no trace of a godly life, of godly principles, of godly ways. To leave a godly legacy, we must live a godly legacy in front of our young people and in front of our children. Before we close, I've got just a few things we want to take care of and we want to talk about because I think it's important. And as I just said, we want to celebrate great things. As I said, our theme was echo. We leave an echo and a footprint of our lives no matter what. It's just a matter of what are we going to leave. What type of echo do we want to leave? Let me see. Is Monica in here? If not, we'll get her in just a few minutes. If somebody will get Monica in just a few minutes. She's not here today? Okay, well, that's all right. Is Judy here today? Judy here? Okay, that's all right. We prayed for them last week, and we're going to talk about that in a minute here. And did Teddy already go back home? Teddy went home also, okay. We had some great things happen this past week down at Falls Creek with our young people, and I want to be sure, and there's a lot of you people that were involved in that through prayer, through support. I want to thank Bill and Millie. Thank you guys for driving our young people down. And Mark Caldwell also. Let's give them a hand. they stepped up and said, we'll drive them. I know in Mark's thing, they had nothing but Bible reading the whole way down there, no speaking. And and Mark said they cannot fight over who gets a ride with him. Those of you that helped us out, we had a little shortfall going down there, and you guys stepped up, and you guys took care of that shortfall, and we got about $20 more than that shortfall, so we appreciate that. So whoever did that, thank you guys. Cindy, who was our cook, our only cook for 5 days, three meals a day, plus snacks. And if any of you young people went home hungry, it's merely because you didn't take opportunity to eat. Okay? She did an amazing job putting lists together and covering that stuff for weeks and weeks and actually months. I mean, she plans that stuff for next year already, has that stuff saved, menus and what she needs. And so we thank you for that, Cindy. Eric, who spent countless hours. Number one is a graphic designer. As you look around at the brown Echo shirts they're wearing, Eric designed those. He designed all our Falls Creek posters. We had posters all over the cabin that said who's on what group, their duties, those different things. And just an amazing job of his artwork and his talent that he gave to us and did the shirts also. So we thank Eric for your time and talent. Our group is fantastic, and we appreciate every one of them. We had our young people leading devotions this week, and it was Aaron. Wave your hand, Aaron, so we know who you are. Higher than that, so they can see who you are. Aaron, Scott, raise your hand. Spencer up in the sound booth, raise your hand. All right, and Kayla. Where's Kayla? Kayla's back with the young people. They led our devotions and stepped up into a sponsorship role and a teaching role, and it was phenomenal to hear them speak to our young people and connect with them at so many different levels. So we thank you guys for that. And then just the other adults were Kisha and myself, and so we appreciate us. We appreciate, Kisha, you going down and taking time out. But I want to acknowledge those people that make this happen, and a lot of people make this stuff happen and allow us to do this, so we want to thank you. But that's not the great thing. The great thing is we had some great decisions last week. We had Afton and Shelby that rededicated their life to Christ last week. Shelby's back there and Afton's over there. And Miss Anna Clark felt a call to ministry and or missions. And I think she probably had those glued feet because she probably did this a little bit and then said, well, yeah. And I'm sure she just wavered, but finally God released her feet. And she stepped out in boldness and in faith and said, I don't know what this means, but I feel it and I'm going to respond to it. Yeah, you know I'm getting to you, Ozzy. I think one of the most amazing things was that God didn't move on one night or the other. He moved every day down there. And like I said, we sang these songs of great faith. And then we think, man, we're just going to struggle here. We're struggling. We have issues. We have problems. We have situations. We have lost people that don't know Christ. And man, God moved. And God moved and He brought down walls. Ozzy, just stand up for a minute. Raise your hand so we can see who you are. That's Ozzy back there. And Ozzy received Christ this last week down at Falls Creek. So let's give him a hand. You know, Ozzy told us, he gave a testimony, and a week before that, you probably could barely get Ozzy's name out of him, but Ozzy gave us a testimony of his life. And he basically said he's been through some rough times, been through some bad situations. He was involved in a church, and a youth pastor used to pick him up, but lo and behold, that church kicked him out. Yeah, they kicked him out. And he found friends that said, hey, go to my church. And you can imagine his response, thanks, no. And he had a young friend, Laren, that said, hey, go. So he finally, I don't know if it was after much pestering or what, he finally caved. And he came and said, hey, this is all right. And he hung out. And he got to know Scott. And he got to know some of the others. And he got to know the Fergusons and spend time with them. And he got to see that life, that Christian home. and the different things, the good, bad, and the ugly that comes with that in our group, in the Ferguson family. And I know when we went down there, a lot of our people were praying for him over the last several weeks. And they were praying for him down there. And God was able to move and moved Ozzy to Christ. And it's so amazing to hear his testimony. If you get a chance, number one, congratulate him. Number two, just talk to him. He's a fantastic young man. And I tell you what, for Father's Day, the Father in Heaven is so proud of you, Ozzy, right now for your decision. All right, guys, an amazing weekend. That's just the tip of the iceberg in what God did at Falls Creek for our group. Judy's not here, is that correct? And Monica's not, and Teddy's not. Okay. Well, we're going to close in prayer. And one thing I want to do, Judy's going down today, I believe, with Monica to have some tests done to see if she needs surgery to help stop her seizures. And I guess the seizures have been pretty bad this last week. And so we just want to cover them in prayers. One of the things that they're doing, I think, is staying at the Ronald McDonald House down there. Is that correct? And guys, I know you stepped up and helped us for Falls Creek, but we want to help them out financially for some money as she goes down there. Philip, if you'll just bring one of the offering bags up here. And what we'll do, Philip, if you'll stand in for Judy and Monica. And Miss Brandy, oh, bless her soul, she's staying with us this week. So we'll cover you in prayers too. But Philip's going to stand in for Monica and Judy. And what I'd like you guys to do, and if you'll stand in for Teddy also, Teddy is going also to have tests run to see if she's got a tumor behind her eye. And so if you guys would, let's just take the opportunity to come up here and let's pray for them. What I'd like you guys to do also, please, if God moves you to do this, I don't want any guilt. I don't want any, oh my gosh, it's money again. But these are people that we love and we care about, and we want to help them out. If God puts it on your heart to give them money, and I'm just saying this, cash is best because they're leaving out of town today. We account for that stuff. We'll take care of that properly. But they're leaving town today. So checks, if that's all you have, we'll take it. We'll convert it. But if God leads you to do that, as you come up and pray for them, would you just drop that in the offering right here that Philip has so that we can give that directly to her right after church? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And as we go in prayer, go ahead and come on up here so we can pray over them. Go ahead and come on up here if God moves you to pray over Monica, Judy, Brandy, and Teddy. And guys, we don't do this a whole lot anymore, but if you have prayer requests, just come up here and let us pray over you also, okay? We can change things up a little bit this Father's Day. And we also want to pray over Randy. Randy wasn't here last week. He's not here this week. And Randy's having some struggles also, so we want to lift him up in prayer also. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful Father's Day. We thank you for being the best father of all. God, we thank you for loving us when our fathers may have left us, abandoned us, or not been there for whatever reason for us. Through death, through choices. God, we thank you for being there for us. When all else fails, you never fail. God, we just ask today that we follow those principles. We follow the principles of learning your word, getting the basics down. Then that we teach those things. Then we follow up with correction. And God, then we celebrate those things. God, help us grow as a church body. Take this wonderful group of people and grow us closer to one another and closer to you. Today, God, we lift up Teddy as she prepares for test. We pray for great results, God, that there's no tumor behind her eye. We pray that you're already doing a work in her body, God. That you're lifting up her family and you're lifting her up with encouragement.
We pray for a great report. God, we lift up Randy today, our brother in Christ, that you would be doing a healing in his body as we speak. Lord, that at this moment he feels your touch on his body. And Lord, as we pray this, that we don't just pray it with words, but we believe this, that we believe that you are actually at work in his body right now, God. God, we lift up Judy. If she takes this time off to take Monica, Lord, that you would give her support, you would give her strength, you would give her rest, you would give her peace. God, we love her work so much. And God, that you would lift up Monica, that you're at work in her body, that the test being run would reveal things that you are able to do no matter what. God, that you'd be with the doctors and nurses running these tests to give them the perfect skill that they need, the abilities they need. And God, in both Teddy and Monica and Randy's body, Lord, whatever these results are, be able to take care of them. God, we ask you to take this money given today for Judy and expenses as she travels. God, somehow, some way that you would multiply that money right now. Lord, you multiply it. Take that burden off her completely, God. Give her rest and peace about that, God, that you would multiply that money. God, I lift up this body. And whatever prayer requests they have in their seat up here standing, God, that you would lift those prayer requests up. You would hear them. You know them. You would respond to them. And you would communicate with them in their need. God, we give you glory and honor today for the things that you have done. For the amazing work you do throughout the world. God, for the amazing work you did at Falls Creek and our young people. God, for our believer in Christ, Ozzy, this week. We know you're celebrating that right now. And we join you in celebration. God, we lift up the fathers in this place today. Lord, if there's discord in their family, you would give them peace. You would give them boldness to step out in faith and try and heal that. You'd give them a spirit of forgiveness. God, anyone who has discord with their father, Lord, that you would give them a spirit of forgiveness, that they can forgive their fathers, that they can forgive you, Lord, if they hold you responsible for those things. God, we lift your name up. We exalt your name. We give you honor and praise. God, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have, if this is your first time here, you're a visitor, we have a gift up front we'd like to give you. Our pastor, Jack, again, is on a trip, and he'll be back next week with us. But we would like to meet you if it's your first time or you're a visitor here. If you'll come up front and meet me right after service. You guys have a great week. You're dismissed. Thank you.